even more. 50 cent offers end 8/26. Pricing and limits may vary in-store and online. Amazon return offer in-store only. Exclusions apply.
Dad, I don't feel good.
I'll grab the Vicks DayQuil Kids Honey.
Isn't DayQuil just for parents?
Actually, Vicks DayQuil Kids Honey is just for kids. Specially designed to treat kids' most bothersome cold symptoms quickly. With a honeylicious tasting flavor kids like.
You know what else kids like?
DayQuil Kids Honey first, then video games.
Deal.
Vicks DayQuil Kids Honey. The kids' honeylicious daytime coughing, congestion, stuffy head, stuffy nose medicine. Safe for ages 6+.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 62. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow, slight chance for scattered storms, highs level off around 87. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is a quote from the Republican Party of Wisconsin spokeswoman Rachel Reisner, quoted in today's Journal Sentinel. Wisconsinites should brace themselves for an era of hyper-partisanship brought on by Protasiewicz and her allies as they use the courts to implement their partisan policy agenda. Through the role of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is to interpret the laws of Wisconsin as they're written, regardless of political beliefs. Protasiewicz, and this is speaking for Rachel Reisner, has promised to put her thumb on the scales of justice and disregard the Constitution or laws on the books whenever she desires. So this is just goes to show how much how fierce the debate was last spring, I think, as we all recall. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how the next Supreme Court race plays out, and whether Protasiewicz, by taking a very unusual tactic by being rather upfront about many of her views, you can guess whether or not this will be the new standard for judicial races going forward, or whether Janet Protasiewicz was just a blip on the screen, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a very interesting afternoon to have this all come to fruition, and it's a busy and breaking news day for sure.
Well, for sure, and we do want to pass along one other item that has happened. President Trump indicted today for his role in trying to overturn the last election.
Quickly, according to Jim Acosta from CBS News, courtesy of CNN, here are reported now four counts that Donald Trump has been indicted on: conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. That according to CNN and Jim Acosta from CBS News. So a busy news day nationally. Donald Trump indicted once again. But more importantly, perhaps, Terry, for Wisconsinites today, now the investiture of of Janet Protasiewicz, and now we see the justice-elect having reached the podium. It's being set up in front of the North Gallery right now, Terry, and several of the other people are being introduced. If you're familiar with the Capitol and these ceremonies, normally the governor's investiture is in the south, in front of the South Gallery, in the west, so he looks directly into his incoming office in the east. They've shifted this around. This is the North Gallery, so the justice will be looking towards the South Gallery where the Senate is housed.
What we anticipate to happen is there will be a swearing in and a speech, remarks by Protasiewicz. A hour has been scheduled for this event. We'll see how long we stick in there with this, but we wanted to bring this to you because of the high level of interest that there is in this situation and how much things could change in Wisconsin. 15 years of mostly conservative rulings could be greatly impacted in the months to come.
And that's what the newsy part of this day, right? Think back to 2010, 2011, when Act 10 was put out there, completely changed union rights in the state for public workers. That potentially could be on the table. We look at things coming up into 2024. Our congressional districts will all be up for grabs, as well as the state Senate and the entire state assembly and a third of the state Senate. And those district boundaries, depending upon what cases may be coming before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, those may all fall on the more liberal side, those decisions, we want to remind our listeners, officially, the state Supreme Court is a nonpartisan entity. Little by little, over time, both Republican and the Democratic Party have put millions of dollars into these races to elect people to these officially nonpartisan positions for issues that are important to them. And I think, Terry, just analyzing this past race with Janet Protasiewicz, judge and about to be Justice Protasiewicz, she came out and was much more forthcoming in her beliefs prior to the election. Normally, these judicial races in Wisconsin are pretty darn boring. As a former political hack myself, you never really wanted to work on a judicial race because it was pretty boring. But Janet Protasiewicz kind of broke the mold and said, here's what I believe. And I'm not going to talk about future cases, but I'm going to tell you what I believe in. That may be a harbinger for judicial races in Wisconsin's future.
I have a feeling it will. I remember it being quite astonishing, a scene last winter at the Monona Terrace Convention Center, the one and only forum that was held for the primary, when all four of the candidates were on hand. Mm-hmm. And the other three candidates pretty much stuck to the traditional script. And you could read between the lines in their remarks to kind of suss out what they really meant. It was quite astonishing just how blunt Janet Protasiewicz was in talking about matters that usually judicial candidates are very reticent about talking about. She said the maps were rigged, I believe were her exact words at that forum. She talked about reproductive rights in a very clear and unmistakable way. Mm-hmm. And she, I think, has broke the mold for how you conduct a judicial campaign going forward.
It's going to be very interesting to see, just from a political person, a political perspective, as someone who really enjoys that, to just watch that side of it. Also, someone who loves, Terry, a good pomp and circumstance. I love a good ceremony. And so I love the pageantry, everything that goes with that. And again, looking at the state capitol right now and in the rotunda, our feed courtesy of Wisconsin Eye, by the way, a great organization in and of itself. We see the investiture ceremony, the pomp and circumstance, the stage, American flags, Wisconsin flags, and it's in front of a copy of the Wisconsin Constitution that sits in that glass case directly behind the podium in the North Gallery. And I have a feeling that's why now Justice-elect Protasiewicz chose this spot, because she's going to be sworn in now in front of the Wisconsin Constitution. They've just finished up, Terry, singing the national anthem in this packed Capitol Rotunda here in Madison.
Gabriela Banuelos, she sang the national anthem popular pop singer along with her sister in Milwaukee. They are a duo known as Reina. And they've been on some national shows, too. They've gotten some widespread accolades for their music. Very nice touch to see her singing the national anthem.
Also, it appears that there's a representative, perhaps of the Ho-Chunk Nation, but one of our Native American tribes being represented there with a Native American staff with several, one would think, based on not an expert, like our friend Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio, but my experience with Native Americans, probably eagle feathers on that, signifying on the Ho-Chunk involvement. And then we also have the U.S. flag and the American flag there, or pardon me, the U.S. flag and the Wisconsin flag there as well.
And now, we seem to be still a moment or two away.
Let us bow together in prayer.
An invocation being given right now.
Eternal God, we bow before your holy presence on this very solemn occasion to celebrate and commemorate the elevation of Judge Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We give thanks and honor for the opportunity of having her serve in this very sublime office of our state. We ask, God, that you would grant her wisdom, sound judgment, courage, and gravity. We offer this our prayer in humility and sincerity. Amen.
I don't know about you, but there's something about that drum that always gets me going. So welcome, everyone. My name is Derek Mosley. I'm the director of Marquette University Law School's Lou Barr Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. And it is my honor to be the MC tonight of the investiture of Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I've known Janet for quite some time, whether it was on the bench in Milwaukee while she served as a circuit court Milwaukee County judge, and I served as a city of Milwaukee municipal court judge, or I've known her since we were assistant district attorneys in Milwaukee County, representing the citizens of Milwaukee County as assistant district attorneys. And even more than that, Janet and I often speak on behalf and go to events of our alma mater, Marquette University Law School. But despite all of that, the thing that I'm most proud of is that Janet is my friend. And I can't be any more proud of you, my friend. So, as MC, it's my job to make sure that everything goes on time, and I'm going to stick to the agenda. In fact, I am so confident that I actually parked on the street and only put a dollar in the meter for 1 hour. I got 1 hour! So, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet.
Rebecca Dallet, elected first in 2018.
Thank you, Judge Mosley. What an awesome day for the state of Wisconsin. It is an honor to be here and to have the opportunity to join in this celebration as we welcome our newest justice, Janet Protasiewicz, as the member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. As many of you know, this isn't the first time I've worked with Janet to serve the people of the state of Wisconsin. We worked together first as prosecutors in Milwaukee County, protecting the rights of victims and holding wrongdoers accountable. Then we served on the circuit court bench together, and I saw firsthand her commitment to the law and the Wisconsin Constitution. Over the years, we've worked closely together, I've not only had the opportunity to see her intellect and her strength, but I've also seen her warm heart, how she is a true, deeply empathetic friend to so many, and how everything she does is rooted in her working class upbringing. She knows that our system is imperfect, and we must work hard to reduce inequity and make sure that we live up to the promise of America, that all of us are treated equally before the law. That's why I'm also proud to call her my friend. Working with her in Milwaukee County, I saw how she handled the tough cases. She treated every person with dignity. She cared about victims as well as defendants. She treated attorneys.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
30 years ago, I was sitting in that seat being sworn in as a member of the court. So, so I decided what I would do today is try to share a few pieces of advice and encouragement for you. Continue to be yourself. You are social, friendly, funny, patient, spiritual, and thoughtful. You can use your gifts to be both pragmatic, playful, and yet serious when necessary. Those characteristics will carry you through tough times on the court and in the community. Stay close to your friends and family, and particularly Greg. Their love will continue to support you in important ways. You will now be facing a new experience, serving part of a collegial court. You will find when you want to ask a lawyer a question during an argument, you're going to have to wait your turn. Even when the prior question took counsel in a completely different direction, finessing your inquiries in amongst those six other colleagues can be a challenge, but I know you're up for that challenge. When I used to explain to the public what it was like to be at a Supreme Court justice back in the conference room deciding a case, I compared it to sitting down at a Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of strangers and some newly acquired in-laws, and then asking everyone how they feel about the most controversial issue you could think of. It makes for vigorous and sometimes contentious debates. But always, your great listening skills and ability to advocate your views will serve you well. Remember who you now serve. Just like I did, you are coming into this position having devoted many years to the citizens of Milwaukee County. You will no longer be Judge Janet. You will be Justice Janet. I know you will demonstrate deep respect for all the parties and attorneys who come into the court, always remaining faithful to the rule of law. Now you serve the entire state, from farmers to businesses, from the homeless to the wealthy, from victims to convicted felons, and from parents to children. You now represent the top of our third branch of democracy in Wisconsin. I am personally thrilled because I know you have a strong commitment to access to the courts for all, to transparency, and to the highest ethical standards for judges and lawyers. Finally, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many here have either had your picture taken by Janet or with Janet? I want to see hands. The reason I'm asking that is that we all know, right? Janet is a wonderful picture taken. But I have to warn you, Janet, that you have serious competition for that official photographer role, because Ann Walsh Bradley is extraordinary in her ability to capture important moments. So I suggest you consider a collaboration with her on this point. And so, Janet, I end by again congratulating you and wishing you many wonderful experiences as the newest Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
You're listening to ongoing coverage of the investiture ceremony of Justice Jennifer Prisanich.
It is my pleasure to introduce to
with,
the stage Mark
News Director Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News Special Report.
Thank you, Judge Mosley, and good afternoon to justices, judges, and all guests. Some might think me an unlikely speaker today. Perhaps no one in the legal profession stayed farther away from the Supreme Court race than did I. To be sure, I voted this past spring,
Joseph Kearney, the
more
dean
than
of
once,
Marquette University Law School.
Lest anyone knowing me to be a native Chicagoan mistake that comment, allow me to remind you that there was a primary election too. As for the distance, it's a tradition. For the past 20 years, as with my predecessor, the late Howard Eisenberg, standing apart from endorsements has been my approach to contested elections. Marquette University Law School assiduously seeks to be an honest broker in its prominent role in discussions of public policy, and for me as dean, that has counseled personal reticence. The campaign must be behind us all, and I am very glad to be here. And if anyone takes me to be speaking for the law school today, that will be just fine. It is an important occasion, the 88th time, by my count, that a justice has joined Wisconsin's highest court. For this, the most newly created of the court's seven seats, first filled in 1908, there have been nine predecessors. They include the state's longest serving Chief Justice, the Honorable Marvin Rosenberry, and most recently, until yesterday, the Honorable Patience D. Rogensack. I have considered it a privilege to work with Justice Rogensack throughout the past 20 years, including her 6 years as Chief Justice. The person whose investiture we celebrate today is a Marquette lawyer, Janet Protasiewicz. The law school has closely followed Janet's career in public service since her graduation in 1988. We also have known her, in a way especially meaningful to us, as an adjunct professor teaching trial practice for us during a 4-year period, both right before and then following the time of her becoming a judge. It is more than that the students so took to her as a professor. It is also what the work has in common with her new position. Appellate judges are influential teachers. They not only announce the judgment to the parties, but explain to the public at large the principles underlying it. Principles that presumably will be widely taken to govern not just subsequent such cases, but future such conduct. Appellate judges' influence on future conduct is a particular reason that their writings are among the things that we call
locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 62. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow, slight chance for scattered storms, highs level off around 87. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
That important? I tell you that because of what it signifies. I used to be a high school teacher, and so I not only asked the questions, I answered them on occasion. I'll tell you why it is important. It's important because it shows the respect that other state courts had of our decisions and how the Wisconsin Supreme Court influenced the development of the law throughout the country. We were also considered one of the top state courts in judicial administration. We were the first in the nation to open up our administrative conferences, airing them on public access TV, opening wide the doors of our hearing room, and inviting the public in to see how we conduct our administrative business. Supreme courts in other states would look to us for new ideas. We were on the forefront, the very forefront of treatment courts, instituting them around the state, of advancing programs for pro se litigants. And many of our outreach programs not only won national recognition, they won national awards. We knew then, and we know now, that to ensure a truly just legal system, one that reflects the history and the hope of this state, that we must make the courts more accessible to the public. No matter if you are rich or poor, powerful or powerless, no matter what your station in life, your political or religious beliefs, we are here as a court system to serve all of the people of this state. As justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we may analyze cases differently, but we are united in our commitment to ensuring a fair and just legal system. Yes, amen. Our challenge, the challenge of the seven justices, all of us on the Supreme Court, is to work to enhance the public trust and confidence of the people in the judiciary and return this court to the national reputation that it once enjoyed. Right. And why do we do that? Not just because it's going to improve the system itself. Admittedly, it will do that. But more importantly, we do that because it will be good for the people of the state of Wisconsin. It will be good for the over 5.8 million people that call this great state our home. That's why it's important, and that's why we're here today. Janet, I want to close by telling you how honored I am that I can administer the oath to you today, and how thrilled I am that you also embrace this challenge. So if you would come forward.
Chief Justice Terry Bell, it looks like the biggest hand of applause in the room was when Justice Ann Wallace Bradley talked about restoring the reputation of the court. I think for a lot of progressives, that's really key to this new term.
Well, there were some incidents, some unfortunate ones years ago. People laying hands on others.
Hand. Former Justice David Prosser grabbed Ann Wallace Bradley around the neck.
He shot.
I mean, that literally came to fisticuffs.
Exactly,
and if you
literally.
Would repeat after me.
Here's the swearing in.
State your name.
I, Janet Protasewicz.
Who have been elected. To the office of the Supreme Court Justice.
To the office of Supreme Court Justice.
Of the state of Wisconsin.
Of the state of Wisconsin.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. And that I will administer justice. Without respect to persons.
And will faithfully. And will faithfully.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Ladies and gentlemen, our Justice.
In the words of former Justice Gespy, no longer Judge Janet, now you're Justice Janet.
And we'll hear what Justice Janet Protasiewicz has to say, the opening salvo, you could say, of her term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the vision that she plans to lay out for her term in a very important set of months still to come.
Big smile, and well-deserved, you know, a very, very happy day.
And I learned something. It seems these ceremonies do, in fact, happen in the Rotunda on a regular basis, so I stand corrected.
Let's hear from Justice
Well, good
Janet.
Afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for being here with us today. I can't tell you how much it means to see so many friends, family, colleagues, and community leaders here today to recognize this occasion. I'd like to thank Justice Ann Walsh Bradley for leading our swearing in. Your friendship and the decades of mentorship and leadership you have given to the people of the state of Wisconsin, we all owe you a debt of gratitude. Thank you. I'd also like to thank Justice Dallet, Justice Hagedorn, and Justice Karofsky for joining us today. I look forward to serving alongside all of you, along with Chief Justice Ziegler and Justice Bradley, to uphold the Constitution of our state and deliver on the promise of justice for every Wisconsinite. I wouldn't be here today without so many of you in this room who I've had the opportunity to work with and learn from throughout my career. It was a long campaign, so many of you probably know that I am a former prosecutor. As a former prosecutor and judge, I've witnessed firsthand the importance of upholding our laws, holding people accountable, and applying justice fairly and equally. I've learned so much from my colleagues in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office and my colleagues and all my staff members in the Milwaukee County Circuit Court. It has been a privilege, and I thank you, to work alongside all of you. You have all made me who I am today, and I thank you for being here. I also want to recognize the many current and former members of the Circuit Court Bench, the Appellate Court Bench, and the Municipal Court Bench, who work every day, every single day, to make sure the rights of every Wisconsinite are upheld. And I need to thank my entire family. You know, Emma did that Pledge of Allegiance. I would have asked my niece Olivia to play a role, but she was in New Zealand and I never dreamed she would come here for this event. So Olivia, thank you for being here today with all of us. My brother Steve, his wife Jen, everybody who has followed this campaign from the beginning to the end, my very, very dear friends, and I would be remiss, quite frankly, if I didn't give a special shout out to my very, very dear friend, Val, who sits in the front row. We met on the first day of law school at Marquette many years ago, and I think on that first day of law school, we weren't so sure we made the right decision. In the end, it obviously turned out well, but she deserves a very special shout out. During this entire campaign, I told people, you know what, I didn't grocery shop for a year, I didn't walk the dog for a year, I didn't do laundry for almost a year, and she was dutiful and dropping off care packages to me almost every week, and I thank you. And I know it wasn't easy for you to get here today, so thank you. I also wanted to thank my husband, Greg, who is truly the best support system. He has always believed in me, and he barely hesitated for more than a day or two when I told him that I thought I was going to get involved in a statewide race. Greg's the best. Thank you, Greg. I also would like to thank my campaign team and the thousands of volunteers. And I know there were thousands of volunteers who gave their time and their energy. I know you canvassed, I know you phone banked, I know you sent postcards, I know you contacted all of your networks. I am well aware of what you've all done, and I know that there were many, many of you doing that. And I hope you don't feel as though that was a thankless job. I thank all of you for that. I'm well aware of it. All of your generosity and determination made this possible today, and I will be forever grateful for what we were able to accomplish together. To everyone who has been part of today's beautiful program, thank you for your kind words, your friendship, and for making this event a success. I thank Justice Dallet for stepping up and filling in for my dear friend Lavelle Johnson, who had a family emergency this morning. Can always count on Justice Dallet in a pinch, so thank you very much. And how about Gabriela Banuelos and that beautiful rendition of our national anthem? Stunning. Thank you very much. But my biggest thank you goes to the people of the state of Wisconsin for placing your trust in me and granting me this responsibility. I look forward to serving you as a member of this court and doing my best to represent a state that I've called home and loved my entire life. I've always believed in public service. Throughout my entire career, I've had only one client, and that is the people of our beautiful state of Wisconsin. It is truly, truly the honor of a lifetime to have this unbelievable opportunity to continue to serve all of you. I was born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee to hardworking parents. I went to UW-Milwaukee and then Marquette Law School. Worked my way through college doing all sorts of things. I was a waitress. I wrote music reviews for the Milwaukee Journal. I ran the office for the League of Women Voters. Did all sorts of things. And trust me, during all of those long days and nights, I really, truly never imagined that this is where I would end up. But all of those long hours led to an incredible opportunity to see our judicial system up close. And it allowed me to see what I believe is universal to Wisconsinites all across our beautiful state. And that is, everyone should get a fair shot to demand justice and not feel like the thumb is on the scale against them.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Constitution. Decisions that this court will be making will impact some of the most important aspects of our daily lives. We need to ensure that the public has confidence in our decisions. We can do that, as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley just said, by improving transparency and accountability in the courts. Wisconsinites deserve to know that we are making decisions based on the law and the facts before us. To my colleagues who are here today, I'm under no illusion that we will always agree, but I respect each of you immensely, and you have my promise to work with you to fulfill our duties to the people of Wisconsin. The responsibility before us and the importance of our job is weighty. But I'm ready to get to work, and I'm ready to deliver justice and common sense as a member of this court. As I think of the challenges and responsibilities ahead, I'm reminded of our estate motto, forward. It's not only a motto, but a value that is ingrained in this state that calls on all of us to work together to make our state stronger and to ensure justice and fairness for all. I know we can move forward, and I hope to make Wisconsin proud as a member of this court. So again, I want to thank all of you for being here today. It means so much to me to have this opportunity to thank you for your work and to recognize our shared belief in the rule of law and to move forward together. Thank you all so very much.
And with that, now Justice Janet Protasiewicz is officially a member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Interesting, Terry, in her comments there. By the way, I thought they were very well delivered, just from a speech standpoint. I thought it was very well written. As somebody who used to write a lot of speeches for politicians and elected officials, the line that I gleaned out of there is, I only have one client, the people of Wisconsin. And I think if you're someone who is either a liberal or a progressive or a conservative, that's what you want on your Supreme Court justice. You want them to do the people's business of the state. And I thought it was well delivered. And now, as you said, Terry, we're going to see what happens as this Supreme Court is now a 4-3 liberal majority. Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and now Janet Protasiewicz joined on the liberal side with Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, Rebecca Bradley, and Brian Hagedorn on the conservative side. Brian Hagedorn, a swing justice for a long time, maybe not quite so much power now that the liberals have a 4-3 majority.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his role in the months to come. Now, we don't know which of these key cases may come before the court first, although the challenge to Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law would seem the most likely. It is currently working its way through the court system. There have been a couple of hearings of court proceedings up to this case. In the most recent one, a Dane County judge ruled that the law didn't actually outlaw abortion, but rather infanticide, or I should say, a feticide. Mm. So that would seem to be the likeliest case to come before the court first.
I would think you're absolutely right, because it's already in the hopper, so to speak, right?
Exactly.
Already in the judicial system. I think the other one is probably timely, as Mike Lucas would say on Badger Sports, timely indeed, are the election laws cases. Of course, the former, more conservative Supreme Court in Wisconsin outlawed last year drop boxes as a form of absentee ballots here in Wisconsin. And also, Wisconsin was one of the few states to uphold absentee voting way back all the way to the Civil War and Union soldiers. So that, as we move into the 2024 election cycle, I know kind of political geeks like you and I know this, but for most people, it's like, no more elections. But we are, for better or worse, moving into the next election cycle. So voters and local clerks need to know whether they can use these absentee drop boxes or not. So I would think that was probably another one that's coming before the Supreme Court in short order.
It strikes me that there may be a race on between the judicial branch and the legislative branch. Brands to see who can make the rules first.
Yeah.
And there are already bills in the Wisconsin legislature. One would create watermarks on absentee ballots, and also, well, at the same time, like you say, I think if the Supreme Court gets there first, we're going to see ballot boxes legal again. We're going to see rules about submitting absentee ballots freed up again to where they were during the pandemic. So it'll be interesting to see whether the legislature beats them to the punch.
And on voting, Terry raises a great point. It's going to be interesting for me, and I think a lot of Wisconsinites, to see if the Republican Party of Wisconsin perhaps alters their position on absentee voting in terms of drop boxes like they have in early voting. For years, Republicans, including former Governor Scott Walker and others, have preached about don't vote early. Go to the polls. Vote at the polls. Now, Chairman of the Republican Party, Brian Schimming, himself leading a national charge to get Republicans to vote absentee early, saying they want to basically do the same thing Democrats are. It'll be interesting if they see the writing on the wall, Terry, that if they think the Supreme Court's going to overturn this, will they then embrace absentee voting via drop boxes with their more conservative voters to try to, you know, win these partisan elections in 2024?
Which I think is why the Republicans have been slow to take positions on these things, because as they've said themselves, we don't know what the landscape is going to be closer to the election. So there's really not much of a point to taking a strong position now, which may be moot in a few months.
Breaking news, other news this afternoon, Terry, of course, nationally, and our colleague Maggie Dawn is about to go on the air, and she is going to break this on all down for you. She is an attorney herself. Former President Donald Trump, according to CBS News, indicted by a federal grand jury on charges stemming from efforts to remain in power after he lost the 2020 presidential election. A number of charges, and Maggie Dawn's going to break that down for you. But Terry, not a slow news day here at Civic Media.
A very busy day. We want to thank you for joining us for special coverage of the swearing-in of Justice Janet Protasiewicz to Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm Terry Bell. For Todd Aubaugh, thank you for joining us. From sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Former President Trump faces criminal charges for his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. He's expected to be arraigned on Thursday. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
The details of his appearance are being negotiated by Mr. Trump's legal team and the Department of Justice, but planning is already underway by the U.S. Secret Service, D.C. Police, U.S. Marshals, and the Federal Protective Service, which oversees security outside the federal courthouse. Preparations include plans to handle road closures, the former president's movements, and of course, mitigation of any potential protests ahead of a possible appearance.
Former VP and presidential hopeful Mike Pence said in a statement, on January 6, former President Trump demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. I chose the Constitution, and I always will. The suspected Gilgo Beach serial killer was in court Tuesday. Here's CBS's Errol Barnett.
Rex Heuermann, appearing stone-faced, wearing a dark blazer and handcuffs, stood before a judge. Attorneys from both sides meeting at a conference hearing to discuss evidence against him, including surveillance video and items gathered during a 12-day in-depth search of the suspect's Massapequa Park home.
Our Matt Piper reports on the death of a lieutenant governor.
New Jersey's Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver has died while Governor Phil Murphy was vacationing in Italy. No cause of death was given, and Murphy says he and his family are distraught at the news. Naming Oliver as his lieutenant governor was, he said in a statement, the best decision I ever made. Murphy was set to return from Italy August 13th. New Jersey's Senate president is acting governor in the meantime.
July was the hottest month on record.
For Phoenix, for example, the temperatures have been dropping below 90 degrees at night. That's really dangerous for the elderly, for vulnerable groups. A recent study showed that last year's heat wave in Europe caused an excess 60,000 deaths.
That's Laura Patterson with the World Meteorological Organization. The high temps are doing a number on the coral reefs in Florida. WFOR-TV's Mary Bell Rodriguez is in Miami.
So if you're asking yourself, what can I do to protect corals? Practice boat safety. If you're a diver, don't touch the corals. Don't spill chemicals into the waterways. And if you're out on the beach, pick up your trash and trash that has been left behind.
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad.
Were you singing that, hoping, wishing that you would be the big Mega Millions winner? Sorry, you're not, and neither am I, but that means the pot grows to $1.25 billion, and we all get another shot Friday night. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say?
Beware, if you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely.